A lot of you are facing some major things in your lives, right? Some stuff going on. And some, you know, day by day we face minor decisions. Do we go left out of the driveway, right out of the driveway? Do we have Kellogg's Corn Flakes or Special K for breakfast? Those are kind of like the minor decisions of life, and they count. But then we kind of are faced with, you know, weekly, monthly, yearly, these major decisions of life about a job, about a career, about a spouse, about a house, about housing. You know, sometimes it's not a house purchase, but it is, where am I going to live next? Major purchase. And for some who would be listening online here, college. And so we are facing, many times during our lives, minor and major decisions. And I think a lot of us would agree we want God in those decisions, because maybe, like me, you've made those decisions without God, and how's that going for you? Not well, you know, many times. And so as we talk in the book of Acts, we're going to be in Acts 16. We're going to be talking again, continuing our series called Continuing What Jesus Started. We have to be intentionally tuned in to God and His will, moment by moment, week by week, and month by month, and year by year, and seeking God's will in decision making. And so we're going to see from the life of Paul this morning that he faced some major decisions where he was going to go on the second missionary journey. And I think we can find some advice from him. Let me put you in some scenarios here. Now, this might not be your exact scenario, but let me just read a couple scenarios that I've written here that I think speak well to decision-making in the will of God. Nick and Fran are in an exciting quandary. Nick has security at his present job, but out of the blue, he received a job offer from a former associate. It is for a young, fast-growing investment company that is spurred on by its fiery and venturesome founder and CEO. It represents a raise in salary and benefits, but also represents adding 30 minutes each way onto Nick's commute. What do you do? You're seeking the Lord's will. What way do you go? Let me give you one more. Jay and Shelley have struggled with the decision to purchase a larger home to accommodate their growing family or stay where they are. After searching for several months without any leads, an attractive house went up for sale, $20,000 below market value. The only catch is that there is an empty lot behind the house that is zoned as commercial. This leaves an unknown as to what will eventually be developed on that lot. Continuing what Jesus started meets decisions and the will of God in everyday life. And so what I want to do is give you four insights from Acts 16, I think speak well to us as we seek the Lord. And I'm not speaking in a vacuum. I know a number of you are facing some significant decisions in your life, as well as, you know, do I continue on in this track or do I shift tracks? And so there is a lot of decision-making that goes on in our lives. So what I want to do is give you four insights from Acts 16. Then what I want to do is, I don't know if you've heard of, you know, questions and considerations you can give yourself as you seek the Lord's will. So I want to give you a few questions that you can ask yourself when you seek the Lord's will. So let's go on. Point number one. Insight number one from Acts 16 is that God leads as we move. God leads as we move. And you see with Paul, that Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of God. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And so Paul did not set up his stand and say, you know, I've been called to reach the Gentiles. I've been called to reach the world. We have Acts 1:8 that I want to fulfill. He didn't set up his stand and say, you know, Gentiles and world come to me. But he was on the move. And so, you know, with, I don't know if you know the story, but he wanted to go with Barnabas on the second missionary journey. And there was a dispute that came up over this man named John Mark. And they split ways. And Paul said, well, I'm going to keep moving. And so he chose Silas and he kept moving. And it's interesting that many times we can say, but Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. And it says in Isaiah 40:31, another very familiar verse, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And there is, as we tune into God and His will, there are some times that He says, just sit there. Just wait, okay? But it's not always the case that can we be moving, can we be seeking God, leading as we move, and still trust in Him, still be resting in Him. So we can be active in our faith, putting out the resumes or whatever it is, and saying, you know, I'm going to move, but I still trust in the Lord. This still applies. I'm going to move, but I'm going to be still in my mind and in my emotions and know that He is God. I'm going to move, and I'm going to wait upon the Lord, but I still can move. And so it's interesting from Paul's example that we can be in movement and still trust in the Lord. He had that healthy balance of movement, but certainly if there is somebody who's tuned into the Lord, it was the Apostle Paul. And so you can trust Him as you fill out that resume. You can trust Him as you go house hunting. You can trust in the Lord as you are social in order to meet a potential mate. You can be trusting and waiting on the Lord as you seek financial aid in paying for college or getting a second opinion about a diagnosis. And so we can be active and resting at the same time. Paul was not only a mover, but he moved others. Isn't it interesting that Paul was not just one who moved himself, but he was such an influencer that he moved others. And so he said, I want to go out. This is second missionary journey. I want to go out. Silas, come on with me. Okay, so Silas joins him. He's such a mover that he gets Silas to join in with him. And then as he's going out, he's passing through Lystra and he says, you know what? Timothy, come on and move with me. Now, it's interesting that who is the writer of the book of Acts? It is Luke. And Luke, as he's writing, it's interesting to note this little nuance in here of Paul's influence on Luke to move. It says, and passing through Mysia, they came down to Troas. And so it's third person plural. Now, look at verse 10. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul was such an influencer for moving and being active in the will of God that he had Silas join him, he had Timothy join him, and now guess what? He has Luke, the writer of Acts, joining him. And so not only was Paul active, he was active in influencing others, saying, you know, you have to be active in your faith. Let's get moving. Let's move. And some of us, you know, it's a challenge for us to say, you know, I have been kind of just sitting back waiting for God to drop something in my lap. And what are the things that I can do in my current situation to move, to cause movement? It's not out of God's will and out of the guidance of the Lord for us to be active in moving in our lives. Here's the second point. God can lead with closed doors. Anybody experienced a closed door lately? Lots of ways that closed doors can come. And they're hard. They are hard. It says they passed through Phrygian and the Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Isn't that interesting? That here is Paul going out. He has a band of guys with him. I want to do the Lord's will. I want to go up into this region. And the Holy Spirit says, no, closed door. How can that be? I want to do the Lord's will. Why am I getting a closed door? Do you ever feel that way? I want to do the Lord's will. I want to be tuned into the Lord's will. Now, why am I getting a closed door? God can work through closed doors. And as it says in verse 7, and after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And so let me just show you what they're trying to do. I don't know if you can make this out on the map here, but they go out from Antioch, and they go into Lystra. This is where Paul picked up Timothy. And they wanted to go into the Galatian region. And the Holy Spirit said no. And they wanted to go into Phrygia. They were on this track, and they wanted to go north. They wanted to go south. They came from the east, and the Holy Spirit was saying no. He was closing the door on them. And here, if we look at God's view, you know, so many times we get down into the second by second, minute by minute look at life, and we are so finite. But don't forget that God is up in the helicopter, right? He is the one who actually can see the whole map all at one time. And what Paul may or may not have fully realized is as he was trying to stay in Asia, in the northern and southern regions, the Holy Spirit was driving them to drive the gospel further and eventually into Europe. We're going to see this. And so that's from God's view. And so many times we can only see in our finite view of today and my present circumstances. And don't forget that as God is looking at your life, he's not just walking moment by moment with you through life. He's up in the helicopter. He sees the whole picture. He sees where you're going to be a year from now. He can see where you're going to be 5 years from now. And he's guiding you according to his will. And so eventually, they ended up in Troas. But here is a great quote by a pastor that I really enjoy. His name is Skip Heitzig. You've heard me refer to him before. It says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. This comes from Psalm 37. He said, the stops of a righteous man are also ordered by the Lord. You see that? The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord, but also the stops of a man are of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And so God can lead with closed doors. That dating breakup, that loss of a job, closed door. The job process that is going so well, and it looks like this employer is right on the tip of hiring me, and then it all falls through, closed door. God is working through that. God is working when we're laid up with health issues. God is working when we have the care of a family member that is taking up a lot of time. God is working through even through the closed door of a loss of housing. And we don't see the closed door many times as the end of the road because God is still working. God works through closed doors. And I know you and I know me, and God works through closed doors, even in your lives and what I know even your present circumstances are. Here is the third insight that we have from the life of Paul. At times we can feel stuck. It's part of being human, okay? We feel stuck in life. And it says, and passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. So Paul couldn't go any, he's coming from, it's almost like he's hemmed in. Okay, he's coming from the east. He can't go north. He can't go south. He's going west. He goes to Troas, and then he sits. He just stops in Troas. And so many times we can feel like we're in the Troas of our lives, right? God has, he doesn't seem to be speaking. He's closed doors in our lives, and we're saying, you know, what, Lord? What do you have for me? I feel like I'm just in this vacuum. And so he's going to lead Paul into Macedonia, heading into Europe. But guess what? Paul can't see that. He can't see that. And can feel like a lot of times, let me just repeat some of these things, that we're in a vacuum with that loss of a job, a dating breakup, a job process that is going well, and then suddenly gets ended. All those things, we can feel like we are stuck. Where is God leading you? Maybe you're in Troas right now and you can't see it yet. Here's the last point. When God closes one door, I was trying to remember this. My mom used to have her saying, our disappointments are God's appointments. Do you ever hear that one? My mom used to say that quite a bit to me. And I think this is something my mom used to say to me. I can't totally remember, but when God closes one door, he opens another, right? And so it says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. When he had seen the vision, immediately we, again, here is Luke now talking in personal pronouns, sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so he closed the door for Paul coming from the east, from going north or south, going into Troas, now waiting, and God finally opens the door. And that open door is coming to you too. This is not health, wealth, and prosperity. This is biblical theology saying that our God is active in our lives and he is constantly moving us along. We have to have patience when God seems to be sitting still. So here we have, coming from Antioch, going through, coming to Troas, finally a vision comes to him, goes into Macedonia, and there is this one city called Philippi that Paul goes into. And there is tremendous fruit. He didn't know that as he was waiting in Troas, but there is tremendous fruit in Philippi. Look at this. The salvation of Lydia and her family. A demon cast out of a slave girl. In the salvation of the Philippian jailer and his family. And so where it seemed like Paul was left in Troas, like it can seem so many times with us that we're just sitting still, God has a plan ahead for us. And look at the fruit that eventually came to Paul and his cohort. And so God leads as we move. Don't necessarily say that, okay, I'm going to trust in God, I'm going to be still and know that he is God, and I'm just going to sit. I can be active and trusting at the same time. God can lead with closed doors, and some of you want to shout, amen, if that's true, that's where I'm at, you know, and I feel like I've just experienced a closed door or something like that. At times, we can feel stuck, and when God closes one door, he opens another. Let me just give you a few insights into some questions that you can ask yourself about God's will. Okay? Here's number one. Am I seeking God and his will? In other words, you know, I am expecting God's will. I think God's will is a good thing. But are you actually seeking God and his will? And so that's the first question is, are you even asking God for his will? Seems like a very basic question, but if we reflect on it, it's like, well, no, I've been kind of charting my own course, expecting God to join in with me. You know what? I need to turn things, and I need to be trusting God for his will and looking to God for his will. Do I have a sense of God's promptings? You know, God can speak to us. God can work in our lives. And do you have a sense and a leaning of God leading you in a certain direction? There's another part of this. When you are leaning in this direction, when you think about that direction, do you have the peace of God about that direction? Do you have peace about it? And so with his inner promptings, do you feel God prompting you? And when you think about taking that route, do you have peace about it? Do I see God's provision for it? You know, as you think about buying that next house and you have a income that can afford a $1,800 house and taxes, and you're looking at a $4,500 house and taxes, it might not be the best idea. So as you do your homework, you know, it's not against God to do your research into this employment opportunity, into this housing, into this potential place to move to. All can be done, but do I see God's provision? Has he even provided the way to do it? Sometimes we have to say, you know, I don't see fully it, and I think it's going to be a step of faith to move in this direction, but many times we're going to see God providing for this direction. Is it in agreement with Scripture? Okay? So you are looking at this potential employer, and in the interview process, you get the sense that there's some ethical things going on. and you say, you know what? I think it's almost like they're going to be asking me to do some things that are contradictory to Scripture. And so is it in agreement with Scripture in what Scripture says to do and what Scripture says not to do? Is it in agreement with Scripture? Have I sought wise counsel? Scripture says in Proverbs 11, where there is a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. And so have I sought wise counsel about it? You know, if it's a financial decision, you know, especially I think believers can give good financial decision, but also sometimes you might go to someone who doesn't know the Lord but just knows finances, but you have sought wise counsel, especially from believers. And have I taken the step? It's like, wait a second here. What's that got to do with anything? It's like, no, have you taken the step? So many times we can get caught as we look at the unknown and we say, well, I'm just going to wait for the world to change. I'm going to wait for this massive tsunami of insight to come until I move. And it is sometimes just a matter of, no, you need to take the step. There's something called analysis paralysis. And sometimes you can look at something so much, so often, for so long that it becomes paralyzing to you. And as I've talked with people struggle with this. It's almost like feeling like if I take this step that God is the cosmic jokester and he's just going to kind of, for a joke, push me off the cliff. God's not going to do that. So you take that step, God is in it, okay? And so making sure that you actually go ahead and take the step. Take the step. You put the pieces together. You said, am I seeking God's will as in keeping with Scripture? Have I sought wise counsel? But sometimes we just sit there, and sometimes God is saying to you, it's time to take that step. And so again, God leads as we move. God can lead with closed doors. At times we can feel stuck. When God closes one door, he opens another.